Hey, good evening, everyone. Good evening. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Bless your word as it goes forth. Cause it to stick and to really mean something to us so that we keep it. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so tonight we're going to be in Proverbs 3, but to start, before we go there, let's go to 1 Peter 5, just to establish kind of like a direction, good choices we can make to stay straight on the path instead of straying and spiraling out of control by allowing wrong thinking, allowing it to fester and then cultivate and into that which could only lead to making bad choices. Okay, 1 Peter 5, picking up at the end of verse 5, says, "We know that God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Just like Habakkuk 2:4, he says, "Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith." You know, the proud one, there's just something not right about him. Something's off. Continuing on to verse 6 in this passage. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." So it tells us to humble ourselves. That would be by presenting ourselves daily to sit at his feet and to hang on his every word under his almighty, sovereign, faithful, and loving hand so that he may exalt you at the proper time. Now, again, that's in the subjunctive mood, which I've spoke about before. But so it's something that's now possible. The potential's there for it to happen. In this case, it's as long as we humble ourselves. Until then, it's as if his hands are tied. And if we don't, we'll find ourselves crying like Esau, desiring to inherit the blessing, but being rejected instead. Hebrews 12:17 for that. Next, it says that we're to cast all our anxiety on him, that we're to be sober and on the alert, and that our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Someone to devour, someone to drink down, to drown, to steal their joy and their momentum, and to choke out any and all progress that could be made. It's like in Luke 8:14, it says, "The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they're choked with the worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to maturity." That's one of the greatest, one of the devil's greatest tools, distraction. And at times we're so ready and willing to present ourselves for distraction, whether it be by the worries and riches and pleasures of this life, or whether it be the onset of some invisible fog of apathy where you don't really have any interest in anything and having very little motivation to get the word, and you're just kind of coasting along. You don't even realize how you're distracted you are because of just being in the wrong position, having your priority so out of whack that one day just goes into the next and you don't even realize how fogged up you are and completely distracted by any random stray pointless thought. And now you wake up in the morning, and where you used to get an hour of the word, now maybe you only get a half of that if you minus all the times you have to refocus and look at it, and you're always in a hurry, and you start, maybe even start treating getting the word as a perfunctory task, meaning that you only do it for the sake of getting rid of the duty. instead of seeing it as your very lifeblood. And that's where staying sober and alert come in. Being sober and alert enough to realize you're just on cruise control, cruising by instead of really digging in and taking the word to heart and keeping it and using it. Watching over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs and issues of life, Proverbs 4:23. So we keep on backing up in the passage we were reading. We see that we're to cast all of our anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for us. Now, that's an understatement, of course, right? We can't even really comprehend it. And the word for care here literally means that it matters. It matters to him. You matter to him. The word for anxiety here is merimna in the Greek. And it's talking of your cares and concerns, but it's through the idea of distraction. And what you're really distracted by are your own thoughts. Whether it be fearful or just fantasy or anything, but it's your own. It seems like anxiety disorders are a very prevalent thing in our times, and it's no wonder why, with so many ways to escape to fantasy land, caught up in your own thing and being congratulated and cheered on for it. And it doesn't matter what it is, now that you can just make it up as you go along, and you're filled with nothing but your own thoughts, and when or if you realize there's nothing of substance to them, no foundation of absolute truth, the bottom falls out, and you're in a free fall of panic. And this can even afflict believers, but it shouldn't really be that way. You know, and there was something brought out in Sunday's message. It's just amazing, and it's the fact that that Peter, in 2 Peter 1:19, he puts more stock in, he puts more faith in the prophetic word of God than his own eyewitness of the transfiguration. So how much more should we fasten ourselves to the prophetic word when combating every thought or feeling or whatever that's contrary to Christ? Replace your thoughts with his thoughts. You just take one giant step back from your own, put on his, and you have a foundation. Fasten yourself to the anchor of your soul. Hebrews 6:19. Your anxiety can be cruel. Indeed, it is a cruel messenger. Proverbs 17:11 says, "A rebellious man, that would be one only seeking his own desire, seeking himself, seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him." So if you've gone astray like a lost sheep, return now to the shepherd and guardian of your soul. 1 Peter 2:25. Proverbs 18:1, "He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom." So don't separate yourself, especially from the assembly. And if you have, come on back. And although Proverbs 12:25, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad." So make priority one, getting the word, and know that he cares for you. And in your, you know, it's when you're in a constant state of fear and panic, anxiety, terrorizing you, you know, stick with the word, because you might even find comfort in obscure passages in Job when he's rambling like a madman. But he knew, in Job 10, verse 8, he said, "Your hands fashioned and made me altogether, and would you destroy me? Remember now that you have made me as clay, and would you turn me into dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? Clothe me with skin and flesh, and knit me together with bones and sinews. You have granted me life and loving kindness, and your care has preserved my spirit." So he cares for you, and you matter to him. Okay, so now we can turn to Proverbs. chapter 3. And this is just some really good advice from the Word of God. Just kind of what the book of Proverbs is. Really good fodder for our thoughts. Let's look at some of the benefits of heeding the Word. Okay, verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." So here we are, once again, instructed to keep the Word. Not to forget it, but to keep it. Can't be said enough how important it is to keep the Word, to get it, to hear it, to keep it. John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. So it's not only how we show our love to him, but the Word in us is the target of the love of the Father and the Son, and by which the Son will disclose itself to us, as well as the one they will make their abode with. It goes on to say in John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our abode with him." All right. Verse 2, "For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you." Psalm 91:14, "Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation." And then John 10:10, Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. 2 Peter 1:2, "Along with grace, peace is not merely added to us, but it's multiplied in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord." Okay, verse 3, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Now, of course, kindness here is chesed, our word for grace. So it tells us not to let grace and truth leave us. Grace and truth, which were realized through Jesus Christ. And the gracious truth, which falls from his lips. Bound around our neck and a wreath upon our heads, as well as written on our hearts. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. 2 Corinthians 3:3. And what will the outcome be? Verse 4, Proverbs 3, "So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." Here's another grace word, finding favor, meaning finding grace, just like Hebrews 4:16, of course. "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Just like Jeremiah, who found his gracious words in Adam. And it became for him the joy and the delight of his heart. Jeremiah 15:16. Finding grace, going to the throne, finding grace and not forsaking it. Because in Jonah 2:8, it says that those who regard vain idols forsake their chesed. They forsake their grace. In the NASB, it's translated faithfulness. But by drawing near and taking refuge in anyone or anything less than God, it's completely vain. And you forsake your portion of grace by doing so. You relinquish your well-timed help. But you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Good repute in the sight of God and man. So Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." In good repute, you'll have a good reputation. You'll be known in the gate. But will all men like you? Probably not. But even better than that, 1 Peter 2:15, "For such is the will of God, that by doing right, you might silence the ignorance of foolish men." You'll be above reproach and the accusation unable to stick. Okay, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding." And we already covered this earlier. The man who's full of his own thoughts and his own desire and the only possible outcome is a harvest of corruption. You know, leaning on your own understanding, that'd be like having a cane, but it's just your own understanding. You know, you're just going to topple right over. Okay, 3:6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. So in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, just say amen to him. Psalm 25:10. All the paths of the Lord, all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Hebrews 12:12. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak, the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. So maybe it's just your feet. You know, there's the path, but you got to have your limbs straightened out. Okay. Verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. We'll do 8. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. You know, you could fill a book with the fear of the Lord, you know, but if you would look around the world, you'd think that it's in short supply and not many have it. But Job 1:1, Job feared God and turned away from evil. In Psalm 36:1, transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There's no fear of God before his eyes. Proverbs 16:6, by loving kindness and truth, it's grace and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. It's quite a statement there. Quite a prediction, huh? Grace and truth. By grace and truth, iniquity would be atoned for. Okay, so the word of God and effectual prayer can accomplish much. It can even bring healing. Okay. Be healing to your bones. All right. Verse 9, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Yep, from the first. First things first, first thing every morning, present yourself for transformation and renovation. Romans 12:1-2. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. And he will put gladness in your heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. Psalm 4:7. Okay, moving on, verse 11, chapter 3 of Proverbs. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects a son in whom he delights. Proverbs 29:1 says, a man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. And even though it seems not to be joyful, we best not reject it, for it's for discipline that we endure. Thank God. And that's the best part. That whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Hebrews 12:6. And even in lukewarm Laodicea, his love is found. In Revelation 3:19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Verse 13, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. And of course, we know about wisdom from Proverbs 4:7. That it's the most important thing. It says the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. So if you look in the New Testament, Ephesians 5:14-17. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, not as unwise, but as wise. So get wisdom. Not being foolish, but in all your getting understanding. and understand what the will of the Lord is. And these next verses, they speak of Christ himself, wisdom personified, our treasure, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, from Colossians 2:3. Proverbs 3:14-18. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The immeasurable riches and treasure of Christ in his word. Psalm 119:72. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Proverbs 10:22. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. 22:4, also in Proverbs, the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. And also in this passage we find the phrase pleasant ways, which is another Old Testament grace word. This meaning like beauty, pleasant, grace, splendor in that regard. But it's grace and peace to you always. Pleasant words, grace words. It's like in Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Gracious words, like the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Acts 20:32. Okay, verse 19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up and the skies drip with dew. So it's not by accident, not by chance, but by wisdom. With skill, the Lord created all things, both in the heavens and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Colossians 1:16. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. He spoke all things into existence and holds it all together by the word of his power, in Hebrews 1:3. And Isaiah 45:18, for thus says the Lord, who created the heavens. He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. He is the creator. We take him at his word. And it's his word that it's exalted above all else. We'll see what he says about it in Isaiah 66:2. He says, for my hands made all these things. That's how all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. So, Proverbs 3:21, my son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Again, we're implored to keep this teaching, to keep the word, to not just let it vanish from our sight. We're to get low and look intently at it, like in James 1:25, where it says, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. And we're not to get drunk with wine, in Ephesians 5:18, or partake in any other reckless and wasteful behavior, for that's dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, fixing our eyes on it, so that our intake and retainment greatly exceed the rate of our forgetfulness. And again, enduing ourselves with the gentleness of wisdom. And if we speak, we're to let our speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. That's Colossians 4:6. All right, so Proverbs 3:23. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and will keep your foot from being caught. Psalm 4:8 says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. And of course, Psalm 91 is chock full of these blessings. Starting verse 4, it says, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. In Psalm 121, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Psalm 35:10 says, all my bones will say, Lord, who is like you, who delivers the afflicted from him who is too strong for him, and the afflicted and the needy from him who robs him. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Even Peter says in 2 Peter 1:10, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent, make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble. Practice what things are those? By applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and your moral excellence, knowledge, and your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and your brotherly kindness, love. Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold gain from those to whom it is due when it's in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I'll give it, when you have it with you. Do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives securely beside you. Do not contend with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. You know, you might not have much power or material substance to offer, but when it comes to our fellow man, we all have the obligation and therefore the ability to at least do justice and fairness and a love kindness and grace and to walk humbly with God. Micah 6:8. In Romans 13:8, we're to owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. In Romans 12:18, if possible, so far it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Verse 31, do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. You're not to imitate the violent man. I know any time when I've wrongly thought that a situation called for me being anything less than gentle or tender, it's blown up in my face. And then you can't undo those words or actions. And all you can do is hope that the entire forest doesn't go up in flames because of it. We're to be imitators of God as beloved children and to walk in love just as Christ loved us in Ephesians 5:1-2. Verse 32, for the devious, those that deviate, that go off track, that go off script, they are an abomination to the Lord, but he is intimate with the upright. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be disgusting in the sight of the Lord. That's basically what it means to be an abomination to him. But he's intimate with the upright. We know that he spoke with Moses face to face, and he called Abraham his friend. And in John 5:19, it says that the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, These things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. It's pretty intimate. In John 15:14, he tells us that you are my friends if you do what I command you. And the command is that we are to love one another. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. You think of Noah, you know, a man of faith and a preacher of righteousness. It says in 2 Peter 2:5, in God, he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Also, Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. In Psalm 128, let's take a peek at the blessing on the dwelling of the righteous. Take a peek in that household. Psalm 128, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you'll be happy and it'll be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. What a picture. What a blessing. It's all stemming from a proper fear of the Lord. And everything else falls into place. Okay, 334. Though he scoffs at the scoffers, yet he gives grace to the afflicted. The wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor. This is where we started. This is the quotation found in 1 Peter 5:5 as well as James 4:6. He gives grace to the afflicted, the humble to those that know how needy they are. Proverbs 9:12, if you're wise, you're wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. Psalm 37:12, the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth, but the Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. He scoffs at the scoffers, and all they'll have to display is shame and a wrecked set of chompers from all their gnashing. The inheritance of the wise, though, their heritage, partly reads like this. In Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against you, against thee, shall prosper. This is from the King James. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord. The lines have indeed fallen to us in pleasant places because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Indeed, our heritage is beautiful to us. We thank you for it. Also, bless the offering. Use it to finance the ministry and meet any pressing needs there might be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.